up at Empire One.
Oh, man. Hi. Thanks for finding the downloadable little brother to the Hey Listen radio program, which you hear Saturday nights on Capital Public Radio and on demand at capradio.org/heylisten. My name is Nick Bruner. It's our first outing of 2017. Yay! And I know what you're thinking. Nick, is 6 months really enough time between podcasts? Slow down. You're going to hurt yourself. Well, I won't. I'm going to crank out at least one or two of these a month with the goal of one a week, so keep your ears peeled. Until that time, let's jump into this week. I am a huge Twin Peaks fan. I watched the original series when I was young, and even though I had no idea what was going on, it still captivated my 10-year-old brain. There's the color palette. And of course, there was the characters. I mean, whether it was the way that they spoke, how they walked, where they lived, each one is fully fleshed out and unique. It's like watching a fever dream on television. Twin Peaks was the subject of my earliest internet searches in the mid-90s. My friend Layton and I would remember we'd stay up late and watching VHS copies of the TV series from the video store where we worked. And then by college, the first season was out on DVD, and I was transfixed all over again. It's no real secret that the show's cult following has maintained 26 years later, even among members of the Cap Radio staff.
It's just amazing to me to watch it and realize when they were making this show and what the rest of television looked like. It's like they snuck in under the radar because that first episode is just, it seems like a campy nighttime soap that would have been on at the time. I love Laura's dad because he's just nuts and terrifying, and at the same time you kind of have some sympathy for him, and the whole time you're sitting there wondering what is going on with this guy.
Ray Wise is such a fun actor to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
Leland, what are you doing?
Look at this finger here.
Leland?
Laura did not wash her hands before dinner. Oh, look at this.
Don't.
Oh. Is it from a lover? Did you get this from your lover?
They don't call them lovers in high school, Leland.
Bobby didn't give you this.
How do you know that Bobby didn't give her that?
Did Bobby give you this? Or is there someone new?
I really loved the character. I'm trying to remember his name. The one that was the biker guy that was with Shelley.
Leo Johnson.
Yeah. I always liked that character because it was so campy and fun.
Yeah, that his character is campy and fun, but he's also menacing and terrifying. That guy is a big bad for a good stretch.
Well, in a nutshell, that's the entire series, I think. And that's what was so bizarre about it, is that it did seem in so many ways like a standard nighttime soap that you would see on air at the time.
Okay, so you and I are the only people that I've spoken with about this project yet that have seen any portion of the new series of season 3 on Showtime. In your opinion, how does it stack up to seasons 1 and 2 from back in the early 90s?
Well, what's amazing is it still has a lot of the same feel, which I thought would be very hard to reproduce. And it's just, so far, it just grabs you by the throat, like right off the bat, and is very satisfying in the way that it kind of picks up from where the series so frustratingly left off. Clearly, Lynch has put a lot of thought into this over the years. This is not something that he just kind of was like, okay, let's do it. Let's put it together. Let's do a show, kids.
So I remember watching Twin Peaks when I was in high school, and it was around that time that I was babysitting a lot, so I'd be in other people's houses at night with a lot of the lights off and kids asleep upstairs, and one face just haunted me. It was the face of Bob.
Catch you with my death bag. You may think I've gone insane. I promise I will kill again.
It was so scary to me to think about Bob that I would get completely spooked. I'd get into my car and I'd always have to do the Bob check for years. I'd have to check the back of my car and make sure that Bob was not there. I babysat a lot, you know, from age 13 onwards, and the Twin Peaks time overlapped with a lot of time when I was just in random people's houses at night. And, you know, it was the kind of age where I would have a friend who would call. I'd pick up the phone at the place where I was babysitting, and I'd hear my friend say, "Have you checked the children?"
What kind of maniac friends did you have?
He meant well. When I think about Twin Peaks, I just think about that sort of gloomy, eerie, frightening space in our world.
Well, between seasons one and season two, I had the most holy of days. I drove up to where they filmed, the filming locations, Snoqualmie, and I ate at the old Marti Diner, which is where they filmed the episode, the pilot episode. And of course, when I was there, I had cherry pie and coffee. And they had all kinds of photos, you know, of David Lynch and stuff up on the walls. And I didn't buy one. I'm so angry at myself. But up by the cash register, they had these little cards with drawings on them, drawn by the guy who played Bob. Remember, he was the set designer, actually. David Lynch really liked him, and he put him on camera, and he became this whole character. But he drew these little, like, 4x4 cards, as I recall. This is 25 years ago. But they were like $4 each, and I said, So I didn't buy one, but I do have like a brochure from the hotel right above the Twin Falls.
Yeah, Benjamin Horne's Hotel.
Yeah, I've got a brochure of that place, and some guy at a local grocery store tipped me off. He said, "Hey, go into the supermarket down here, and you can buy pancake mix with a drawing of the waterfall and the hotel on it. You can find that around here." So I bought some of that. Seeing the falls and eating in the diner, and I took a photo of the traffic signal that's hanging above the street that David Lynch occasionally would have just, you know, a single shot of, and it's changing like from yellow to red or something.
That's the traffic signal that would swing back and forth at the end of other episode or so.
There it was. It was right out in front of the Marti Diner. What bothered me about Twin Peaks, about the audience reaction to it, is they were expecting a neat resolution of the story, but that's not what Twin Peaks was about. It was just about the journey. That's what got me into it, was just these weird characters and weird situations and like otherworldly, ethereal kind of situations. It seemed like it was a dream.
In order, that was Cale Wiggins, Cap Radio's classical content coordinator and expert David Lynch impersonator. Julia Mitrich, our food and sustainability reporter, whose car, I am happy to report, has been Bob-free since 1990. And Victor Foreman, the David Lynch superfan sojourner and Cap Radio jazz and classical host. On the radio show this week, I am spinning the soundtracks of Twin Peaks, Lost Highway, plus musicians who were inspired by and who occasionally worked with David Lynch. You'll hear Trent Reznor, David Bowie, The Chromatics, David Lynch himself, and a bunch more. That's the theme for Saturday, May 27th, 2017, which you'll hear on air in Sacramento at 90.9 FM and online at capradio.org/heylisten. It's time for Sheer Volume. This is where I randomly nab a Cap Radio staffer from the hall for some on-the-spot, one-on-one focus grouping. This week's guest to react to the latest music in the Hey Listen library is Tashina Brito. Hey, I wonder what she does around here.
I work on Brandy Collateral, so we look the same inside and outside of the station. I work in the garden, so I'm weeding as well as organizing educational opportunities. And I listen to Hey Listen on the side.
For anybody who doesn't know this, Capital Public Radio has a garden at the radio station, which are we the only public radio station that incorporates such a thing?
At least on the West Coast.
And what does the garden do besides hang out and be neat in our backyard?
It connects us to our food and sustainability beat. It allows us to talk about food-related issues, agricultural policies, allows us to convene and talk about what's going on in our region as well as on our plate.
Tashina Brito, do you like music?
I like music.
And I was going to want to get like your initial input on some of the tracks I'm going to play for you. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
I love to
before I knew that you existed. I wasn't expecting that. It's like happy hip hop. Permission or a witness. It honestly doesn't make any difference. I feel like I need a glass of sangria. I don't know if that's appropriate for the time of day, but I want one right now to go with this. When your world starts falling, I can read about it all in your face. You ain't even gotta say they can't take that away. They can't take that away. I don't wanna waste it this time. Is that Sharon already? Sharon off the top there?
You got the Sharon Van Etten connection there.
Her voice is pretty recognizable, I feel like. Love that soft, poppy shimmer.
Her last, like, two records, or last record and EP, are really, man, those are heartbreakers.
But we're in agreement that this feels a little bit more up and light felt, and yeah. Fighting ourselves is taking its toll. I kind of want to slide across the living room in socks, do a little dance at the doorway, move back, probably ignore all the chores I was trying to do while I put this on anyway. I like the eeriness, like even at the onset you found some interesting jarring notes, but it's still overall like melodic. It's a little bit sultry, a little husky, but still melodic.
Tashina Brito, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Nick.
Boy, we talked to a lot of Capital Public Radio staff in this podcast. The first installment of Sheer Volume, Tashina Brito reacted to the songs Can't Take That Away by Brother Ali. His new album is called All the Beauty in This Whole Life. This Time by Land of Talk, featuring Sharon Van Etten. Their new album is called Life After Youth. And one of my favorites this year, I'm Not Your Man, the new album by Marika Hackman. The song was Boyfriend. Say, did you know that those songs are actually longer, and not all of them fade out at the end? Well, you would if you discovered music with Hey Listen, each and every Saturday night on Capital Public Radio. Have plans on Saturday nights? Well, look at the lucky duck with the full social calendar. Even luckier for you, there's the Hey Listen archive. All you have to do is saunter over to capradio.org/heylisten and click an episode. Tell your friends about the Hey Listen podcast and be forever in my heart. Share the links, subscribe to this program on iTunes, or find the show on the NPR One app. I'll see you this coming Saturday for the David Lynch Show, and until then, I have been and will continue to be Nick Bruner for Cap Radio's Hey Listen.
That's gonna you like. Is going to come back in style.